integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Dr. Holly is out lecturing and training other physicians right now. We have Radio MD's own healer and personality, Melanie Cole, joining us. Melanie, sit still and take your pills.
What does that mean, Dr. Decker? Children, take your sit-still pills, because, you know, my kids, boy, they don't sit. Well, my son would like to sit still all the time, but not my daughter.
Well, it is a difference between being a healthy, active child and getting up, and the inability to focus or take commands or just sit still. And what we're doing is we're drugging kids to sit in chairs. That's what we're
doing. So you're talking about kids that this overdiagnosis or diagnosis that we have so much of with ADHD and ADD and then Ritalin and everything that they're getting for these?
Well, I'm not a zealot, so I tend to live in the middle on these subjects. Medical doctors would argue that drugs like Ritalin and, you know, all of these different, you know, stimulants that they're taking, Strattera is one, there's several others that are out there, that these have really been breakthrough medications for a condition that's been around a long, long time, meaning that they would say that ADHD and ADD have been around for many, many years, and now we can finally treat it. That's one side of the argument, okay? So what do you see? You see more and more treatment of it. The other side you see is folks like, more of my belief, which is our kids are sick, and our kids' diets are terrible. They are over-drugged, vaccinated, and with bad food, and because of that, their inability to sit still occurs. So now we're adding another drug in to force them into their seat. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I do, like personally, I have ADHD. I am proud of it. I live with it well. It allows me to multitask. It allows me to do a lot of things, but I have to focus and finish things. I have to go about my life a very, very different way than, say, a person who doesn't have ADHD. But the concept for me, Melanie, to ever take a stimulant to be able to sit in a chair, it's just beyond me. And I have one child who has ADD, and she's the spacey one, right? So I say, Shauna, honey, get in your body. Take your shoes and socks off. Rub your feet on the dirt. Get in your body. She tends to be more tired. She's not high energy. My other one, my three-year-old, she's just like me. She's ADHD. She will have eight things going at once. And here's one of the reasons why I brought this subject up, Mel, is I was visiting with her teachers because she's ready to go to preschool at three. She knows letters, planets, numbers. She's ahead. She knows how to multitask. And they're like, well, I don't think she has ADHD because she sits still and she can take commands and we can reason with her. And I'm like, well, she has ADHD, but she just doesn't eat junk food. She just doesn't eat white sugar. She doesn't eat white flour. She is gluten-free. Her diet is clean. She got a little bit of sugar in once and ran around the room, and they said they barely recognized her. And I said, that's what happens. It's a poison to people with ADHD. So my conclusion on where your point is that, yes, I think ADD and ADHD has always been around, but I think the numbers have skyrocketed with the amount of vaccines, the amount of sugar, the amount of bad food our kids in diet, along with, and I know you're going to love this one, along with the lack of exercises our kids are getting, right? I mean, don't you think that's a big part of this?
Well, it's a huge part. And when you talk about sitting still in school and being able to focus with schools cutting recess and gym in favor of academics, and we need the academics, Dr. Decker, of course, to catch up to other countries and such, but yet how can kids get their beans out? How can they run around and, you know, get blood flow to their brain so that they can sit and focus and listen if they don't get to run around at recess and have all the things that go on in gym?
Well, it's true that you run that energy out, right? I mean, that's true. That's medically true. I can show you with neurotransmitters. I can show you with cortisol levels. But we all know as parents, it's true that you get your kids out and active and they run out their energy and then they can come in and then they can focus back on their studies. This has always been known. That's why recess was invented. If that didn't exist, there wouldn't be a purpose for recess. And what's funny is we're doing that, Mel, to catch up with countries that are getting their kids more exercise. When I've been in China, when I've been in Asia, where, you know, isn't that Chinese student the perfect one now? They all can count 1 to 20 back and forth by year one. The Indian students, the same thing. Guess what they're doing? They're increasing their exercise periods in order to improve their brain outcomes. They're not decreasing it. We're the ones going in the wrong direction. Mel, let me throw some numbers at you here. Between 1996 and 2008, the percentage of U.S. children taking ADHD medications rose from 2.4 to 3.5%, an increase of 500,000 children. So, yes, these medications are being handed out. But let me tell you something else. The school nurses are calling parents now and saying, get your kid to see Dr. Smith or Dr. Wilson, and she's going to prescribe some medication so your kid will do better in school. They will actually now have programs where the teachers will talk to the nurses, or the nurses will talk to the teachers, and they will call the parents, refer them to doctors who they know will prescribe this, and so they can get them to sit still in school. Now, that's wrong, Mel.
Harsh. It is. And so what do you mentioned clean living, Dr. Decker. What do you recommend for this sort of sit-still behavior, the focus, the attentional issues that we're seeing so much of? What is your best, really, that you like people to think about, and especially parents, people going through this?
Well, the number one thing that we have to take away from kids is sugar. Is white sugar, and it's in everything. Did you know, Mel, that there's more sugar in a teaspoon of ketchup than ice cream?
Wow.
So that's the thing, is that it's hidden too. It's in everything. One of the things I learned is when I've gone to lecture in Europe, I'll use a sauce or something, or I'll eat a cookie, and it's far less sweet. And they're like, yeah, the American stuff is too sweet. They use so much sugar. Our senses are so over-sugared now that when we eat like a normal cookie or an organic ketchup, like my 22-year-old, she hates it because we have organic ketchup here. And she's like, it has no flavor. No, it has no sugar. And so, yeah, and so she's always kind of balking about it. But it's we've got to get the sugar out of the kids' diet. The other thing is the gluten products. Now, listeners, I know when we talk nutrition, what do you think of? It's expensive, right? It gets expensive. You think, okay, I can't buy the 39-cent pasta or the 99-cent pasta. I've got to buy the $2 gluten-free pasta. Well, really, kids don't need much pasta at all. They need more fruit, vegetables, and things like that. So let's talk about, Mel, lower cost ways to do this, okay? So for toddlers and infants, getting berries and blending them up and using that as your baby food, you know, not going with all the process, that will save you money. And that is what they need. You can throw some berries in. You can throw in whatever you think that they have, and you can spoon it in. There's these blenders that'll heat things. It'll cool things. You can throw broccoli in there. You throw cauliflower in there, and that's what we did with our baby. Our baby ate everything that came out of a blender. She never did anything because they have those expensive food packs, but you can just blend that. Now, as they get a little bit older, now they go to the berries. Now they go to the foods and all that. Now, here's the key to the whole game, Mel. You cannot bribe your children with food. Especially with ADD, ADHD.
No, you
cannot.
Listeners,
take this message to heart. If you say you did good, here's some M&Ms, you're dead in the water. You have to reward them with a hug. And we were rewarded with food.
Reward them with a bicycle ride. Say, let's go biking.
Reward them with a bicycle ride. Our little girl, people think she's brainwashed because we were at a Halloween last October and they had all this candy out. We threw one jar of berries out there. That's what she went through. She actually got an M&M and we ran over there. She spit it out. She said it tasted bad. So I want to summarize here real quick. Number one is, and I want to say one last thing about the medications. The medications only buy you 1 to 3 years of improved education. Then you're back at the same problem. So listeners, these medications that they're going on, they're not magic carpet rides. You've got to go after the food. Number one, you've got to get the sugar out. We talked about berries. We talked about broccolis. We talked about blending these things up for your toddlers and later steaming them and having them go as whole foods. And the second key to this thing is do not bribe your children with food. When they do good things, a hug, a bike ride, exercise.
That's the way to do it. Rock on, Dr. Decker. Remember that your kids are our best assets, and we have to treat them with kid gloves, right? You're listening to It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science, right here on Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole with Dr. Decker Weiss. Stay well.